Dear brothers and sisters, last week we looked at the kind of attitude we need to have to become a beautiful person with the Lord's discipline. We focused on interpersonal skills like greetings, conversations, phone calls, and attitude toward others. Although we couldn't cover every daily life situation, the most important thing is to have a heart filled with goodness and love, with an attitude that seeks to consider and serve others. Then we can understand, embrace, and serve everyone, including those with different and difficult personalities. This is true service to others, to be able to serve those with different and difficult personalities. You know, it's not just serving the people that you get along with and ignoring people that you might find a little bit difficult to deal with. It's serving from the heart, in to be able to serve everyone, no matter how difficult or different. That's serving from the heart. And we need to have this true heart of service. When we become a person of truth, we turn into Christians who are recognized and praised in the world. But last week, we looked a little bit on service. Some people say that they serve with love and grace and hope, but the other person keeps asking for more. So it's almost like, what do we do? However, when we serve others with love and other people keep asking for more, if it's too over the top, then, you know, we need to realize that there is a line that we must not cross. We shouldn't say yes to everything that other people ask for if it's not in the truth. If it goes against God's word and we serve that, then it's not serving God. True service is serving under God's word, not on the outskirts of God's word. We must abide by God's word when we serve and not go against His commandments. So if we've got parents that do not go to church, then we need to have the wisdom to, you know, go and see our parents on Saturday and spend great loving time with them, and then go to church on Sunday. If another person keeps asking certain things that goes against God's word, then we need to make sure that we do not abide to that, that we don't follow that. You know, if someone's just a little bit selfish, but it doesn't go against God's word, then yes, we may humble ourselves and be of service. However, is it true love? Is it really love to serve everyone if it goes against God's word? It's not. Today we'll look at the proper posture and physical discipline to cultivate, especially in common grounds, in public environments, and in worship services. I pray in the name of the Lord that we'll become perfect in all our conduct, just like true children of God who is light and love. Let's look at the proper posture and demeanor to preserve. Posture, such as sitting or walking in a slouched or disordered manner, walking noisily with heavy steps. These days, a lot of our postures are said to be linked with our health. So it's extremely important to not slouch and sit straight and, you know, keep our shoulders back. And of course, a lot of young people, a lot of children, they don't really realize the importance of good posture. And they don't feel it either because they're still quite young. But when you become a mature adult, you realize, you know, bad posture leads to bad health conditions too. And some people, they go to, you know, the PTs and the chiropractors and try to fix their bad posture and to put their bones back in place. However, you'll see that, you know, it's not always permanent. So it's extremely important that the main thing is that you need to make your body have good posture. So as children of God as well, we must also have good posture. If you're a true child of God, but at home you're messy, or, you know, you're slouchy and disordered, then it doesn't really marry up between each other. Of course, you can receive salvation, but in order to be a true child that's pleasing before God, then we need to be proper in all that we do, including our posture. So what's important is that we need to think about, what would the Lord do? How would the Lord act? What did the Lord do? What is the proper posture that the Lord had? Just because the Lord was by himself, do you think he would have been messy and not cleaned, or slouched and been disordered? If your heart is clean and pure, so is your environment around you. This is being true and perfect. So when you are not true and perfect, that's when, you know, your exterior might be clean, but your heart isn't. Or your heart might be clean and your exterior environment isn't. So I'm sure while you listen to this message that you'll, you know, worship with proper posture instead of being slouched or in a disordered manner. With a, you know, you'll change to have a straighter back and worship this service before God with proper posture and manners. So when I used to worship the service as a church member, not as a speaker, then, you know, naturally my habits would, my spine would end up slouching a little bit. So it's important to, you know, put in the effort to keep straightening ourselves and make sure that our posture does stay straight and upright. And when we put in the effort, that's when our habits can become good. And, you know, even if we're by ourselves, we've got eyes, you know, everywhere. We can't just be proper in front of people's eyes, but we need to be proper when we're also by ourselves. We need to be able to receive the good opinions of others, that we are proper and good and mannered. So when our hearts are perfect and in truth, then so will our attitudes and our postures outside. Sometimes people walk noisily with heavy steps or run and make loud sounds in the hallway. Back in the day in Korea, a lot of houses in the countryside were made out of timber, real wood. And the floorboards weren't always stuck together. The floorboards were stuck together, and sometimes they were so close together that it would kind of overlap or be raised. The floorboards would be raised. So when children would run on these floors, it would make squeaky sounds because it's going up and down. And back in the day, we would be told to always walk without making these loud sounds and to walk properly and to walk gently. These days, you know, our floorboards, whether it's timber or tile, it's made a lot better where, you know, children could run and still not make as much noise. But we need to check ourselves and see if we are walking too loudly. Same thing with our walking speed. Are we walking too quickly? Especially when we're not by ourselves. We're in, you know, we're in the public area, like in hallways. Are we speed walking? Are we running? Are we making too much noise? You know, and interrupting other people around us. When you're in a building and you've got offices on either side, let's say a person keeps running back and forth in the hallway, making lots of noises, would people not open the, you know, the office doors and ask what's going on? And not just hallways, but everywhere. We need to make sure that we walk gently. Handling objects carelessly or roughly to make it break, or acting impulsively and bumping into things or tripping, should be avoided as well. Some people bruise a lot. Some people bruise easily too. And they might ask, why is it that I bruise so much? You know, and it might be because you act too impulsively, or you move carelessly, or your actions are a little bit too rough. And if you act roughly or impulsively, then, you know, the objects that you touch or handle can break quicker. You know, housewives or people who look after their house, if a lot of the objects that you use break easily, more quicker than expected, then you might need to look back on yourself and see if you're too impulsive or careless. Of course, there are times when we make accidents and break cups or, you know, drop plates. But if this happens all the time, then, you know, it's something that you need to look back on yourself. If you get knife cuts a lot on your fingers when you cook or when you prepare food, then you might need to look back on yourself and go a little bit slower so that you don't make these mistakes. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 19, "He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." This shows the importance of a calm and composed demeanor. If you slam your wardrobe closed, then it'll make a loud noise. If you kick your wardrobe closed, then it'll still make a loud noise, and it's not very composed or calm. To close doors quietly is something that we learned as well. When I was young, our pastor emeritus, when he was at home and in the room, we would never know when our pastor emeritus would, you know, communicate with God, or when he'd have the time to prepare sermons. So when we knew that our pastor emeritus would be home, we would always have the habit of closing the door very quietly, even if it wasn't his own door, but other doors in the house. Because when we close the door hard, then it makes a slamming noise. So how did we close the door quietly? I would have turned the knob, that the door handle knob, and then close it before releasing the doorknob. We would practice that in the family and then make sure that we close the door quietly, and also we would almost tiptoe, or slowly walks that we don't make as much noise when in the house. So all these habits became, you know, service to others, because we wouldn't annoy other people. We wouldn't interrupt them with loud noises. Let's think about newborn babies and mothers. Let's say a newborn baby had a hard time going to sleep and the mother just got the baby to sleep. Would you not make sure that the household is quiet so you don't wake the baby? Because any small noise can instinctively wake the baby, and then what would happen? The baby would start crying, and it'd be, you know, hard for the mother. You would want the baby to sleep as much as possible in peace and quiet. So even if, you know, the house was quiet inside, they would also worry about the outside too. If there were any loud noises outside, loud cars, loud people shouting, and it'd get on their nerves, they'd be a lot more cautious of the noise if they had a newborn baby. So, you know, if you've got family members in the house that don't care about being quiet, even if there's a newborn baby, then that's not really serving the mother, is it? Let's say you visit another person's house or office, you always need to close the door after entering. Doors are there for you to close, not to keep open. You know, if someone's opened the door for you and you're the last person in, then you need to remember to close the door. Habits like shaking your legs or biting your nails should also be fixed. A lot of, you know, young children have had the habit of biting their nails. And do adults also still do the same? You know, not all children get out of the habit of biting their nails. Same thing with shaking your legs. You know, it's important to fix these bad habits. And some people don't have the personality to stay calm. They have to, you know, be active and moving. And their heads and their eyes keep going left to right, up and down, because they're so restless. We need to be able to have the personality and the attitude and the composure to stay calm and still. You know, it's almost like you're not calm and you're not composed. It's almost like your brain's going a million miles an hour. So when we make our good posture, we can't really see ourselves, but we can see other people well. So let's look at other people's postures. You know, we might look at other people who sit first at a table, and if you see people that are extremely restless and look as if they're emotionally unstable, you know, you look at them and they need to be calm. It's a calm area. However, they don't act calm and they're unable to be calm. But when we see that, we need to look back on ourselves and see whether we do that. Another good point is to look at our families, because we're related. So if any attitudes or postures or demeanors are not as good in our families, then we need to use that as a learning point to transform ourselves as well. So same thing with our eating habits. when we eat by ourselves, all of those habits that come about when we eat by ourselves end up showing up when we eat with other people too. Do we eat with loud noise? Like, do we chew with loud noises? Do we eat too hurriedly? We need to make sure that we eat, even if we're by ourselves, calmly and collectedly, in a composed manner, in an elegant manner. So it's important to change our habits when we're by ourselves. It's also important to be mindful. Some people tend to lose their belongings. You know, a lot of older generations keep saying that, you know, it's old age that makes me forget. But it's also important to be healthy so you don't lose your memories. But if it's not that, and it's just, you know, you naturally keep losing belongings or forget tasks or frequently miss appointments. Sometimes you've got people that keep losing their phones or keep dropping their phones. It's because, you know, this is evidence that your actions are a little bit too rough or impulsive. It should be something that only happens, you know, a couple of times. But if you keep lose your belongings, you keep dropping things, and it's and it happens regularly, then you must fix your actions. Be more on task. Be more mindful of what it is that you're doing. You might also be prone to forgetting promises. So it's important to be mindful so you don't forget your promises. You need to remember all the words that you've said, the promises that you've made, whether it's a promise with yourself or a promise with other people. Because if you keep forgetting promises, then promises made to God, like, next time I'll do this, will end up being forgotten and you'll fail to follow through. You know, when this becomes frequent, it can reduce the level of trust from people and from God. The inability to remember can be changed through prayer and effort. You know, it's sad to see people that keep praying but can't receive answers. What do we say when we usually pray to God? Some people pray and say, Father God, if you do this for me, I'll do this. Or you might pray to God saying, I'll do this, so please make sure this happens or help me achieve this blessing. But you end up forgetting the promises that you made to God. And if you keep doing that, then, you know, the trust between you and God can disappear. Don't just, you know, blame your memory on forgetting things. You can change it through prayer and effort. Even in busy or overwhelming situations, your heart should remain calm enough to listen attentively to the Holy Spirit's voice. Some people forget promises or knowingly break them for trivial reasons like feeling unwell or having urgent tasks or simply not feeling like it. It's important to cultivate the habit of being punctual for time-related commitments. This applies to work, worship services, and other significant moments. Arriving late for an appointment takes away the other person's time. You know, it's extremely important to have trust between you and other people. And this kind of trust doesn't get built in a special way. Sometimes it's as simple as, you know, arriving on time or keeping your promises. If you continuously arrive late 5-10 minutes every single time you make an appointment or a meeting, then at the end of the day, the other person will stop trusting you to rock up on time. It's crucial to develop the habit of being mindful, considerate of others, and respectful of your commitments. Depending, you know, on your lifestyle, some people find it difficult to change your attitude and your posture, but we are people who pray. You know, we need to fervently pray and put in the effort, and through the help of the Holy Spirit, get rid of bad habits and turn them into good habits. Of course, to change bad habits or old habits into good and new habits does require a lot of effort. It requires a lot of time. But we need to change our bad habits into good. Lastly, personal cleanliness and keeping your surroundings clean is an important aspect of proper conduct. It can be embarrassing when unclean or odorous smells appear from you or come from you due to poor hygiene. You know, whether at home or church or the office or in public places, you should throw rubbish away in correct areas and return used items to its proper place. A clean and orderly appearance doesn't give offense to others. It's, you know, this should be a given. But so many people in the world don't do this. If you don't have this good habit, then you must change. Especially in public places, you need to return things that you've borrowed or used because it's not yours. Other people still need to use it. And how difficult would it be for the other person to try and find the items that they need to use, but you've misplaced? So it's important to not be offensive to other people and return items back where it came from. Same thing with the church. Proverbs 20 verse 11, it is by his deeds that a boy distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. The more our hearts are purified by truth, the more upright, polite, trustworthy and honest you become in every aspect of life. When your heart is purified by truth, then your actions are purified by truth. A lot of, you know, you've come to church today. What's your house like? Children, young adults, you know, what's your bedroom like right now? Is it a complete mess? You know, would your rooms not be seen before God? God sees everything. You might pray in your rooms. And if your room is extremely messy or there's clothes everywhere, then, you know, it impacts your concentration during prayer as well. Let's look at proper behavior in public places. You should be mindful and avoid obstructing the path when walking or making conversation in public. Making loud noises should be avoided. And there are ways to prevent inconvenience to others. But do you do that? When you're walking on the pathway, you've got the road where the cars go past, and you've also got the footpath where pedestrians can walk. You know, there's usually enough room for about two or three people to walk. And if you're with two or three other people and you're walking right next to each other and you're having fun talking and you see other people from the opposite direction coming by, then what should you do? You should move to one side of the path so that other people can get through or get by. You know, if you're with a group of people and you're having fun conversing with them, you still need to be on the lookout for other people around you and make sure that you're not obstructing the path because you're busy talking. How selfish is this if you don't? when I hike, or when, you know, I see people hiking, it's perfect if one, you know, if people hike up and down in one line, because, you know, a lot of the time the hiking areas are quite narrow. But if you've got two people that are hiking up, it can be a little bit dangerous of the person coming down. Even if you don't say hello to people that walk past you, you still need to be, you know, mindful of other people that are sharing the footpath. You are not the owner of the footpath. Or what if you're, you know, walking in public areas and you're speaking really loudly? Then it can be, you know, it can be annoying to other people. So when you serve other people in truth, then you won't make mistakes and you'll have good, proper manners. Obeying traffic signals when crossing the street, just like children are first taught public etiquette, is essential. So parents might teach the children how to, you know, obey traffic signals. And the children might not necessarily always put up their hands and cross the road in Korea, but at least parents will, you know, at least parents should definitely teach children that they need to watch left and right, especially in alleyways, you know, where there aren't any pedestrian crossings. It's extremely important to teach children to walk to one side of the alleyway, not in the middle of the road, to avoid any accidents. And these days, you've got lots of noise cancellation AirPods or headphones. You know, it's not fun to, you know, beep at people when you're in the car. But you see in Korea, you'll see lots of people in the alleyway walking in the middle of the road. And, you know, you're in the car and you're right behind the person in the middle of the road, but they're busy either on their phone or, you know, they've got their headphones on and they can't see or they can't hear the car behind them. And because it's dangerous, because the car needs to go past, you end up beeping at them. You press the horn. So when you're walking, especially in an alleyway, for your own safety as well, walk to one side of the alleyway and, you know, be on the alert. Look at the environment around you. Look at your surroundings. It's public manners. For example, when walking, it's also considerate to lead women and the elderly and the children to the inner side of the sidewalk away from the road for safety. Holding the door open for the next person is also an act of kindness. So, you know, when you open the door, just have a quick look behind you and see if there's anyone right behind you. And if they are, then, you know, you might keep the door open for them so it doesn't hit them in the face. It's impolite to bump into someone without offering an apology or push through a crowd just because you're in a hurry. Parking hastily or causing inconvenience to other vehicles because you're in a rush is clearly seeking your own benefit. Double parking without leaving contact number, ignoring calls, or responding but only coming out after finishing your own business and without a single word of apology can hurt other people's feelings. These behaviors are very self-centered. You know, even on YouTube, like in videos, you've got people that upload self-centered behaviors of people that double park. You know, some people don't even put their cars in neutral, which, you know, doesn't allow the car to move at all. Or, you know, you've got people that double park and you call them and they pick up the phone saying, sorry, I'm a little bit busy at the moment. I'll come down a little bit later. Like, it's very self-centered. And a lot of these videos, you know, get uploaded as well. You know, worldly people see them and consider themselves centered as well. It's important that we do not be inconvenient to others. You need to put in the effort to make sure that you do not have these bad habits. When using public spaces, it's important to show consideration for others by following the rules of that area. Just because you're a little bit annoyed or inconvenienced by the rules of that area doesn't mean you shouldn't follow them. Showing up unexpectedly at someone's home or workplace is inconsiderate and disregarding the other person. Even when visiting someone else's home by invitation, it's not proper to open closed doors without the host's permission or freely wander around the house without asking. This all goes against good manners. When visiting unexpectedly, it's important to introduce yourself politely and clearly state why you're there. If you're turned away, the appropriate course of action is to make a new appointment and leave. For example, public property as well should be treated with care, like, you know, borrowing a book from the library. Tearing it or damaging it is not proper conduct. When attending concerts or shows, it's important to dress appropriately and adhere to the required etiquette. During a show, it's not proper to suddenly clap or talk as it can disturb the performance and other audience. At a black tie formal event, attending in casual clothing is a pretty serious breach. You need to dress neatly and appropriately, especially, you know, in specific events like worship before God. Wearing sloppy clothes or sportswear to a worship service is not respectful to God. It doesn't mean that you need to wear expensive or buy new clothes. Your attire, your clothes should reflect the reference to God in sacred settings. The point is to dress neatly and appropriately, fitting for a child of God. Worship begins with the silent prayer or the Apostles' Creed and continues until the benediction and or the Lord's Prayer. This should all be offered with reverence to the Almighty God. God watches every person with His fiery eyes and receives the fragrance of each heart offered in worship. If you sleep, you doze off, or become lost in thought during worship, where the body is present but the mind is filled with worldly concerns, then it's a serious offense before God. And if you wish for the service to end soon to attend business or watch sports or think about your friends having fun, then it's not worshiping in spirit and in truth. Engaging in casual conversation or eating during worship is also shameful before God. I hope you will worship and revere God more than any other. Then Father God can protect and bless you abundantly. Dear brothers and sisters, if you fall asleep or become distracted by worldly thoughts during worship, it's really disrespectful to God. The foundation of manners, etiquette, and public morality, you know, is rooted in not causing harm or discomfort to others. And it's, you know, important to have a heart that considers others first. While specific manners and customs may vary from country to country or from one era to another, the unchanging principle is the attitude of respecting others. as you reflect and pray on posture, you'll realize that this is a matter of outward actions and of the heart. Reflecting on the six areas of the deeds of the body that a person must control, you've got thoughts, heart, eyes, ears, mouth, and posture. It's important to remember that simply knowing these principles isn't enough. You cannot change through physical effort alone. When you combine personal effort with God's grace, power, and the help of the Holy Spirit, then you can truly experience transformation into a perfect and righteous person. 1 Timothy 4 verse 5, "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." It's important to keep the word of God and fervently pray to be sanctified and changed. Father God desires a conduct that's perfect inwardly and outwardly. Though we may try to act, you know, in what we know, our conduct cannot be truly transformed if it's not fully cultivated in the heart, because our old habits can come out at any time. As the heart becomes complete, our thoughts and conduct become complete and perfect. When this continues, we can be true followers of Christ. May you transform into Christians with holy thoughts and good hearts. I hope you will set your eyes on what's true, listen to what's right, speak what's correct, and have perfect conduct. In Matthew 5 verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll all live a blessed life and radiate the fragrance of Christ.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.